Amen. Can we again give thanks to the Lord for all of his blessings in our life? Yeah. You know, we are a blessed people. Richard, you are so right in what you shared just a moment ago. We are blessed people. If you just look around, we live in a country where we can enjoy economic prosperity, freedom of worship as we are this morning. No one's coming in to shut us down or arrest us. We have opportunities for advancement in our workplaces and education and even opportunities for leisure. We live in a blessed country. We live in a blessed time. We are blessed people. And maybe I don't need to remind you of this. Maybe we're well aware of the blessings that we have in our lives and what God has done for us. But as we know, at this time of year, we pause to give thanks. With a special day coming up this Thursday, Thanksgiving, but I think it would be helpful for us this morning to just pause a little bit further and take notice of the blessings that God has given us. I just want to make sure that you and I notice the things that we enjoy, the blessings that we enjoy, and maybe too often take for granted. I want us to look at a story that's found in Luke chapter 17 that speaks to this. And by the way, we're so happy to have everybody here this morning as a reiteration. If this is your first time here, if you've been coming here for quite some time, or maybe a few months or so, and you haven't picked up a gift yet, we have a gift for you at the end of service. It's going to be a busy time here. We're going to have cake and bake, silent cake and bake auction with all the goodies that are on either side of the tables. We also have some Christmas tickets for sale. But also, if you will go to the back, there's going to be the gentleman that stood here and gave the announcements a few moments ago will have a gift for you as our way of saying thanks for coming, and I hope that you'll take advantage of that. But Luke chapter 17, are you there yet? Good. Luke chapter 17 is where we're going to live this morning, and they're going to start in verse 11, and I want us to look at this, and it's going to help us to pause and take notice of what God has done for us. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and Jesus was traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee. I guess he was walking right on the line between the two. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed, and one of them, just one, when he saw that he was healed, came back and praised God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Now, very quickly, there's three parts of this story that I want us to look at this morning, and there's three things that I hope will help us as we can apply these things to our lives as we move into the Thanksgiving holiday season here. First, I want you to write this down. If you're taking notes, if you're not, please take notes. It's always so important to pull out a pen and a piece of paper. In fact, those journals that we have back there, if you have run out of room, go get another one and take notes. You're always going to remember more when you write it down than when you just listen to it. But the first point that I'd like to make this morning to pull out of this story is that we are blessed. We are blessed. In so many ways, we're blessed. If you look, it says, on his way to Jerusalem, going back to verse 11, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going to the village. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "And Jesus, have Master pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And when they went, they were cleansed. Now, in this story, we see that all 10 lepers were blessed by God. And in this instance, they were blessed with healing. Now, healing is just one example of how God has blessed us. I want us to look at that for just a second. We are blessed with healing through Christ's finished work. We are blessed with that. We've been given access to that. If you're walking in sickness today, if there's something going on in your body, in your mind, in your emotions, in your relationships, in your finances, he wants to make you whole in every area. You know, what Christ has done for us when he said, "It is finished," he saw your need, he saw my need, and he made provision for that need to restore our bodies, our minds, our emotions, our relationship, our finances as we place our faith in him. He's come to restore everything that Satan has tried to steal and kill and destroy. Whatever is going on in your life today, whatever has led you to this place today, where you feel like that you're in a place of somebody has robbed you. Somebody has killed something in you. Somebody has destroyed something in you. Something, some person, his name is Satan, in fact, because he's the one that does it. He uses people, he uses circumstances, but the thing is ultimately he's the one. He's the author of that. And when Jesus saw that that was happening, when he was hanging on the cross, and he said these three words, "It is finished," when he said those three words, he saw your brokenness. He saw your need. He saw your lack. He saw your sickness. He saw that you needed healing. He saw that you needed wholeness, and he made provision for it. Can I hear an amen? You know, the thing is that when he said it is finished, he doesn't say it is finished, dot, dot, dot. He didn't say it's finished, but I still got to come back and do some more. He said it is finished, period. Actually, it is finished, exclamation point. It was emphatic. The fact is, what the need that's in your life has already been provided. What is broken has already been accomplished to restore. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that the job has already been completed. It's just that we can take access to it. And say, wait a minute, Jesus was wounded for me. He was broken for me. He was wounded so that I might be made whole. He was broken so that I might be mended. He's already finished the work. So why are we walking around in brokenness? Why are we walking around with a lack in our lives? I'm telling you this morning, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you brought into this place, I want you to say these three words with me. Say, it is finished. Say it. It is finished. So I want you to grab hold of it. And I want you to walk it out. We are blessed to access and walk in his finished work. Can I hear an amen? Let's do that. So we're blessed. We're a blessed people in that one area. But guess what? It's not finished. Because we're also blessed with salvation through Jesus Christ. when he said it's finished, he didn't just see the brokenness in our lives physically and everything else. He saw the sin in our lives. These 10 men who had leprosy represent all of mankind. Leprosy was an incurable disease back then, and the men were doomed to separation from their past life, from their family, from their jobs, from what they knew, and ultimately they were doomed to a lonely death, only with other lepers. And when you think about it, that's what sin does, doesn't it? When sin entered humanity through Adam and Eve, it was like a spiritual leprosy of our souls that came in. And that leprosy separated us not only from the life that we were intended to have. Did you know that we were created to, and intended to have a sinless, perfect life continuously in God's presence? That's why we were created. We've never experienced that. We will one day, but we've never experienced that because Adam and Eve introduced sin through their disobedience. And so, see, Jesus saw that. He saw that there was an ultimate separation from him upon death in a place called hell. And he said, wait a minute, I don't want that to happen. And so God sent his son, and Christ came and made a way for us. And that way was a cure from the incurable, leprous heart of sin in our lives. And God gave us access, Jesus gave us access back to God the Father through the finished work on the cross, through salvation, through a washing of our sins, and a restored relationship with him, and eternal life after we die. Folks, we are a blessed people. Can you say amen? We're blessed. Amen. We're blessed. What a blessing. What a blessing. But wait a minute. It doesn't end there. God has given us provision through healing. God has given us provision through the finished work of the cross, through salvation. Aren't you thankful? But guess what? We're also blessed with provision through God's abundant supply. Listen to this. Psalm 37:25. I love this song. This verse, it says, when I was young and now I'm old, and yet I've never seen the righteous abandoned nor their children begging for bread. Oh, Nancy Herman had a song about that one time. I'd never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed out begging for bread. And every time they sang that song, I was just a young kid, but I thought, man, that's a good one right there. And it's so true. If you look at it, David was writing this, he's saying, listen, I was young and now I'm old, and so all these years, I've never seen the righteous abandoned. I've never seen them forsaken. I've never seen their children begging for bread as they're walking in righteousness. God has made provision for us. The fact is, folks, there's just no lack in God's kingdom. Up in heaven right now, the Bible says to pray God's kingdom down, doesn't it? To live out God's kingdom here. And in God's kingdom, is there lack right now? Is there poverty there? Is there famine there? There's no lack. in God's kingdom. And yet, somehow, we tend to walk that out, don't we? We think, oh, well, we don't deserve that, or maybe we'll just kind of make do. And I'm not talking about name it, claim it, and get rich and all that, and using Jesus for a, you know, Pez dispenser or the candy man. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that there's no need for us to live in lack in our lives, in any area. Our God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says. Think about it. There's 1,000 hills, and there's a bunch of cattle on those hills. And by the way, he owns all the hills, and he owns all the cattle. It's not just 1,000 hills, and not just all the cattle on those hills, but he owns everything. His supply is limitless. If you ask God for a loaf of bread, the Bible says, he's not going to give you a rock. He's going to give you a loaf of bread. And not just a loaf of bread, but he's going to give you an abundant supply of bread. And he's going to take care of his children. Are you his child this morning? If you are, say yes. Do you think that God, our loving Heavenly Father, is not going to take care of you? Absolutely. He's going to take care of you. Has he thus far been faithful? God is faithful. It's not, that's not one of his attributes. That's who he is. He can't help but be that. He's faithful. And folks, we're blessed this morning through God's abundant supply. But wait, it doesn't end there. We get healing. We get salvation. We get his abundant provision. And then we also get freedom to worship as we choose. Think about this. There's a whole lot of people across the world today that can't gather together to worship as we're doing here this morning. We take this for granted. There's folks today in countries that are hostile to Christianity that right now they're gathering underground, many in fear of being caught, imprisoned, and even killed. Folks, there's folks in the other parts of the world today where they cherish their Bibles and they make serving God their top priority, many at the risk of life and limb. And it's unfortunate that there's many folks in our country today that tend to come to church one, two, maybe three Sundays out of the month. And that's not going to make you a Christian, but it sure is going to help you because the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. The Bible says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. The Bible talks about the body of Christ as the vehicle where the gospel is going forth and that we are to encourage one another. And all of those things that the body of Christ is all about, coming into a place, whether it be a small group, whether it be a church gathering. But we don't take advantage of these times, unfortunately, as a church. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ as our nation is concerned. We just take it for granted. Oh, the church is always going to be there. But there's times where we can gather together for prayer. There's times we can come together for church like this morning. And there's times where we can come together in small group Bible study sessions. And folks, I know I'm preaching to the choir, metaphorically speaking, but we should and must and be thankful that God has given us this freedom to worship him. It's unfortunate that we have several Bibles in our homes, again, Christians throughout the United States, but many times they seem to collect dust or they're infrequently accessed. Folks, we have a freedom here this morning. The fact is that millions of people worldwide, hundreds of millions even, over the years, have been imprisoned or killed for the same faith that we're blessed to freely enjoy here this morning. We're blessed. We're blessed. We are blessed people to be able to worship and serve Jesus Christ in this land. And folks, there's over the decades, much blood has been shed and many lives have been lost to preserve this freedom. Let's be reminded of the blessings that we have today here to gather and give thanks to God. Amen? Without fear of imprisonment or death. But wait, that's not all. We're blessed with salvation. We're blessed with healing. We're blessed with provision. And we're blessed with freedom of worship. But also we're blessed today with family and friends. We're blessed today with family and friends who love us and support us, who encourage us, who laugh with us, who cry with us, and sharpen us in our walk with Christ. And you may be thinking, yeah, well, I got some family and friends that sometimes they frustrate me. Sometimes I get impatient with them. Sometimes they disappoint me, but I get that. But that's the sin, that's human nature, that's going to happen. But folks, bottom line is this, these friends and family are still gifts from God to help us along life's path. They're there to help us to bring strength and companionship and camaraderie as we need to grow and become who Christ intends for us to be. God has blessed us with one another. Turn to someone real quick and say, you're a blessing. Yeah. See, that we can say that we're truly blessed by that person or those people, whether they're here or not, your friends and your family, they're blessings. They're blessings from God. And see, this is not an exhaustive list, but it's just an idea to help us to think, wait a minute, God has blessed me. I'm a blessed man, I'm a blessed woman. I'm a blessed young person. God has blessed me, and I dare not take that for granted. So we're blessed with so many things by God, but that's going to lead us to the second part of this story. This we're looking at these 10 lepers, and specifically the one leper that came back. That although we're blessed, and the list is not exhaustive, but although we're blessed, and I think we know that. You're thinking, okay, Pastor, thank you. I know that. And it's good to be reminded. We're blessed. Thank you for that. But this is a little nuance to this story, is that how often do we really notice them? Write those two words down, notice them, because that's really the crux of my message here this morning. It's noticing. Not taking for granted, not just assuming, not just walking it out. Because as you look at verse 15 of the story, he says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, or in other words, when he noticed that he was healed, he didn't just keep going, but he came back and he praised God in a loud voice and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. And he said, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, we're not all 10 cleansed, we're the other 9. Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then Jesus said to the man, rise and go, and your faith has made you well. Now, the fact is that all 10 lepers were healed, but only one noticed and returned to Jesus. Now, let's just give a little backstory to these 10 lepers. These men were probably in some sort of leprosy camp outside of the city. And that wherever that village was, that city was, wherever they weren't in the population of the rest of the people. They were excluded off a little bit. Close enough to be within, you know, distance of being able to communicate with family on occasion, but separated out from them because that was a highly infectious, contagious disease. So Jesus was walking between Samaria and Galilee, somewhere in there. And the Samaritans, by the way, were the rejects. They were the the stepchildren. They were the half-breeds of the Jewish race. They were a mixture. They were not the pure bloodline, so they were treated as second-class citizens, if that. But yet, I would say that there's probably all of these people. By the way, Samaria is where the Samaritans lived, and Galilee was where the Jews lived. And so Jesus was walking somewhere between those two, and so I'm assuming that this village where this leprosy village was, that there was probably a mixture of Jews and Samaritans. They kind of had just to learn to get along with one another. They were all exiled to the leper camp, Jews and Samaritans alike. Now, maybe the other 9 were healed along with the Samaritans, Jews. In fact, the Bible says that they were, but maybe they thought that they were owed healing by God as his chosen people. Maybe the other 9 were Jews. You ever thought that? I'm assuming something here. I'm speculating that maybe the one that was the Samaritan that came back and gave thanks really was grateful, he noticed, but maybe the other 9 were Jews. Maybe the other 9 were just feeling like, well, you know what, I'm God's chosen people, God owes me that. Or, you know, I'm part of this covenant bloodline, and so I'm entitled to that. I don't know, I'm speculating here, but you wonder why those other 9 didn't come back. Whatever the reason was, they didn't notice their blessing to the level that it impacted their journey. They didn't turn back to acknowledge and thank Jesus. They just kept going along their merry way, grateful, I would assume, that they were healed, but not acknowledging and not taking notice. The Bible never records what the other 9 did. But the Bible does record one of the 10 noticed to the level of returning to Christ and giving him thanks. Now, I don't know. Again, I'm going to assume some things here, speculate, but maybe, I don't know, maybe we think we've earned the blessings that we enjoy because we come to church a lot, or because we've served the Lord a long time, or because we read the Bible a lot, or because we pray a lot, or because we do a lot of works. Maybe we think God owes us these blessings somehow because we've served him or love him or faithfulness in some way, you know, over the years. I don't know, but here's the point. Here's the fact. These blessings that we enjoy here this morning, what I just listed, and then some, they're not earned blessings. You're not saved because you earned it. You're not healed because you earned it. You're not blessed with provision because of something that you've done or something that I've done. Let's remember this. Let's take notice of why we're blessed. You see, the healed Samaritan leper, there was this humility with about him. He came with a heart of gratitude, like that song we just sung with on bended knee I come, with a humble heart I come, giving thanks before your holy throne. It's this sense of, Lord, I'm nothing without you. Who am I that you would bless me, that you would do these things in my life? I haven't earned it. You don't owe anything to me. Why are you doing these things for me? I take notice of it. Wait a minute. I'm going to pause and say, wait a minute. There's something here more than just God giving it to me. Because you know what? It's really what it is purely God's grace. It boils down to just purely God's grace. We enjoy the blessings that we enjoy, salvation, healing, provision, all of those things are given to us because of God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for it's by grace that you've been saved. And I'll add, that you've been healed, that you've been provided for, that you have freedom of worship, that you have family and friends. It's by grace that all these things take place. It's through faith. It's not from yourselves. It's a gift from God, not by your works, not by my works, so that none of us can boast. I'm blessed because I did this. You're blessed because God is gracious. And so am I blessed because God is gracious. Grace, by the way, let me define it. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Write that down. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. How many has gotten what you don't deserve in your life? Yeah. And I'm talking about the good stuff. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. And let's define mercy, because that's kind of the flip of it. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. How many has experienced God's mercy? Hallelujah. We're blessed. Amen. We're blessed with His grace, and we're blessed with His mercy. How many is thankful this morning not only for God's grace, but for His mercy? You know, I don't deserve these blessings from God in my life. Yet because of His grace, I'm blessed. And because of His mercy, I'm spared what I do deserve. And I just say, praise the Lord for that. You know, the Samaritan knew this. The Samaritan had just experienced God's mercy and God's grace. The Samaritan did nothing to earn it. He simply just cried out to God for mercy. And it wasn't lost on the Samaritan. And the Samaritan took notice. And the Samaritan came back and gave thanks to Jesus. So I just want to encourage you this morning, as we can learn a lesson from the Samaritan, let's not take God's blessings in our life for granted. Instead of blowing through this holiday with the food and the football and the travel and the family and the parades and the Black Friday deals and all of that, let's just pause and let's just notice God's blessings and His mercy and His grace shown by Him to us in our lives. Amen? So we enjoy God's blessings, and we also take notice of the source of our blessings, which brings us to our final part in this story, and that's this outwardly, intentionally giving thanks to the one who is the source. We're blessed, we take notice of those blessings, and then we give thanks to Him. Luke 17, 15, and 16, just to remind you, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice, threw himself at Jesus' feet, and thanked Him. He was a Samaritan. The one healed leper thanked Jesus. He didn't just notice it, but he made the trek back to Jesus. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, and with a loud voice, he gave Jesus the thanks. He didn't give credit to the medicine. He didn't think he would have been healed anyway. He recognized the source of his healing, and he came back and gave thanks to Jesus. That's what I'd like for us to do today. I want us to do a couple of things here. We're going to model this, and I want us to do it together. Today, I'd like to lead us in thanks to God. I want us to throw ourselves at Jesus' feet. And out loud, I want us to praise God for His blessings in our lives. You know, when you think about it, when we grumble about how cold it is outside, and it's been cold, where'd fall go? I mean, we didn't even have fall. It went right from summer to winter, just like pow, cold. And we grumble, oh, it's so cold outside. It's going to be a long winter. But aren't you thankful for the coat and the gloves and the hat and the nice warm house that you have to go to? It's all in perspective, isn't it? I'm thankful for that. You know, I complain about the rain, and man, it rained a lot this week, didn't it? In fact, I think another quarter of an inch, they say, will break a record for this time of year, like all records. Another quarter of an inch, that's all we need for in the next 2 weeks. Been a lot of rain. But when I complain about the rain, I'm reminded of how it brings an abundance of crops for me to eat. Aren't you thankful for the rain? It brings life. It brings food to the table. Now the rain. You know when I get frustrated, Richard, about the rush hour traffic? I'm reminded of how blessed I am to have a job. That I can get in that car and get in that traffic so that I can go to work and make a good living. Amen? Amen. I'm thankful for the car that I have. I don't have to walk to work. Young people, when I get another homework assignment, not another homework assignment. How about being reminded of how God gave you and I the ability to think and to figure and to create, that we have a sound mind, that God has given us the intelligence to figure this out and to learn. That's a blessing. When I face frustrating or challenging things in my life, instead of complaining, I'm reminded of that God has promised to always be with me, and he promises that he's going to be my strength and that he's going to see me through, and that through those challenges in my life, he can make me more like him. It's all in our perspective. And as we give thanks instead of complaining, it helps us. Everything, the Bible says, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I'm going to have you all stand with me this morning as we close, because I feel like we need to stand to pray. And I'm going to lead you all in prayer. But I want you to join with me. Just like this leper, this Samaritan healed leper, came and out loud thanked God. He out loud praised Jesus. He out loud did this. Now, if you're not comfortable with that, that's fine. But in your heart, yell loudly as you can. But let's give God the praise. And I'm going to lead you. So I'm going to try to drown me out. I dare you. I've got a microphone. Even if I didn't, I got a loud voice. All right? But let's pray out loud and let's thank God for his blessings. Father God, we come to you this morning and we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your blessings in our life. We're not just blessed. We take notice of it. And we take notice, Lord God, that you are the source of our blessings. And we thank you, Jesus, for salvation. We thank you for saving us from our sins. We can't earn salvation. Jesus, you took care of that for us. And we thank you for salvation. We thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes, we've been healed this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that by your death, we have been made new and resurrected in new life, Lord God. We are walking in salvation. We are walking in forgiveness. We are walking in healing in every area of our lives. We thank you, God, that you are bringing healing to us in every area of our lives. By your stripes we're healed. So God, I pray and I praise you today that we can simply access that healing that is already ours, that has already been finished on the cross, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial. Father, we walk in your healing today and we thank you for it. We're blessed with your healing today. Father, we're blessed today that we can worship you freely here today. Father God, that we thank you, Lord Jesus, for those that have given their lives so that we might stand here today and shout praises to you, to lift our hands in praise to you, to declare your word boldly, to gather together without fear of punishment or imprisonment. We thank you, Lord God, for the freedom that we have. It comes from you. That's a blessing, Lord God, and we're recognizing, we take notice of it and give you the thanks for it, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for provision today. We thank you, Lord God, that you provided for our needs according to your riches and glory. Father, we thank you today that we have a coat and gloves and a hat and a roof over our head and food in our stomach and a car to drive and a job to go to. And God, you've blessed us today. You've blessed us with the ability even to make income, Lord God. You're the one that gives us the creative ideas. You're the one that gives us the abilities, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, for your provision. God, you're a good God. You're an abundant God. We thank you that we don't you're not playing games with us. You're not going to throw a rock at us or throw a snake at us when we're asking for food. You're going to give us that we need and an abundant supply. And Lord God, that we can be blessed to be a blessing. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're the one that blesses. We thank you, Lord God, for friends. We thank you, Lord God, for those that are here in this church. Lord God, we thank you for family. We thank you, Lord God, that for our spouses and our children and our parents and our aunts and uncles and our cousins and the family that you've helped us to be born in or that we were adopted into. Even family, Lord God, that we're here in this family of God, this body of believers. We are part of the family of God, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blessings today. We are blessed. We notice our blessings, and we acknowledge you, Lord Jesus, as the one who is the blesser. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Come on, give him praise in this place. Yeah, amen. So as much as we give thanks to God, remain standing because I'm almost done. As much as we give thanks to God, I also want to model for you one more thing. Because we can give thanks to God, and we must give thanks to God. But we also have an opportunity this week, maybe, to give thanks to our friends and to our family. So I want to model for you. For example, I'm going to start off with Kelly. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for Kelly. She's a blessing not only to me, but to this church. I'm thankful, Kelly, I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful to you for you making me a better man. You challenged me to not be satisfied with this. You always say you can do better. You challenge me. You make me a better person in that way. You also speak into my life. Let's put it this way. I look at you and I see examples of you, of your giving heart. You're one of the most generous people I've ever met. And I thank you for that. I am not as much, but over the years you've helped me to be more that way. And I'm thankful that God has blessed me with you, and I wouldn't have any other way. I love you, and I thank you for just God has blessed me with you. So I thank you for that, and I thank God. And also I want to say this as an example, okay? I also am thankful to my mother and father for the Christian upbringing, that they exposed me to church at a young age and to the Lord at a young age, and I just held on to it. And I appreciate my mom and my dad for raising me in a godly home and for just their godly example. So thank you, Mom and Dad, in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I also want to thank my in-laws, Richard and Joanne Taylor, who have been such a blessing in the 30-plus years that I've known them, that they have just really just been generous and kind and accepted me as one of their own. I'm blessed. I'm blessed with a great mother-in-law. Isn't that great? I'm blessed with a great mother-in-law and a great father-in-law, and I'm thankful for Richard and Joanne. I also want to say one more thing. I'm thankful, and without singling, that's as far as I'm going to go without singling the people out, because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so I'm just going to say from you all the way over to you and everybody in the back, and I can be here all day long and single out everybody individually and specifically thank you for a particular something. But I just want to say as a blanket to you, thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your heart for the Lord. Thank you for your heart for souls. Thank you for your faithfulness to this church and to the Lord. Kelly and I are blessed, blessed, blessed beyond measure to be your pastors. We look forward to many, many, many years together with you, should the Lord tarry. And we've got a lot of great plans for the future. Thankful, though, for you all. Can I just say thank you for being you? All right? Amen? So I applaud you. Oh, you don't clap for yourself. Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah, you know, we're pretty good, aren't we? Yeah, we're doing good. Yeah, yeah. All for the Lord. So I just want to give you that and model that as an example to you. Now, listen here, we're not done. As I've just modeled this for you here today, I want to ask you, who can you call? Who can you write? Who can you visit? Who can you express from your heart thanks for their kindness and their love and their grace that they've exemplified into your life today? Now, even if they passed away, you can still talk to them and just thank them. Thank you, Grandma. who's been passed away for 20 years. Thank you, Grandpa. Thank you, total stranger who did whatever you did on the street with me one day and caused me to love, fall in love with the Lord. Thank you for that person I can't even remember the name who paid a bill for me when I didn't have the bill to, money to pay. See what I'm saying? Just give thanks. It takes notice of what God has done in your life, and it passes out the roses without the thorns. It passes out the roses while someone is still alive. I just want to encourage you to just reach out to someone, to take notice and give thanks for your blessings. Absolutely to God. Absolutely to God. Absolutely to God. He's the source of all of our blessings. But also give thanks to others as well. Most certainly. Give thanks to others. So I'm going to leave you with another story here this morning of a little boy who took notice of an act of grace bestowed upon him. And that kind of really wraps up everything here today. And then I'll close. Several years ago in the District of Columbia, the police were auctioning off about 100 unclaimed bicycles. $1, said an 11-year-old boy as the bidding opened up on the first bike. The bidding, however, went much higher. $1, the boy repeated, hopefully, each time another bike came up. The auctioneer, who'd been auctioning stolen or lost bikes for over 43 years, noticed that the boy's hopes seemed to soar higher whenever a racer-type bicycle was put up for auction. Then there was just one racer left, and the bidding went to $8. Sold to the boy over there for $9, said the auctioneer. The auctioneer took $8 from his own pocket and asked the boy for his dollar. Yeah. Then the youngster turned it over in pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters, his dollar. He took his bike and he started to leave, but then he only went a few feet, and then he carefully parked his new possession, and then the boy went back and gratefully threw his arms around the auctioneer's neck and cried, thanking him for the gift of grace represented in his new bike. You know, yeah, that's a good story, isn't it? And folks, this is exactly what God has done for us today. He has stepped in and he's done for us what we could never do for ourselves. We're blessed. Take notice of your blessings and let's give him thanks. Let's thank the one who deserves all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that we could ever, in all of a million eternities, ever give, not just this week, folks, but all year long.